You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. At the Milwaukee Public Museum, millions of artifacts that aren't on display are stored in backroom drawers and cabinets. As part of our series Behind the Scenes at MPM, today we'll explore the zoology department's vast bird collection. Julia Colby is the museum's zoology curator. She says many of the specimens are used for research and that some of the collection will be displayed for the first time at the Future Museum. Colby met with Lake Effect's Joy Powers and WUWM's Eddie Morales to share the history and the future of MPM's bird collection.
About how many items in the Milwaukee Public Museum's collection are in the zoology department?
It's about 2 million specimens. That's a rough estimate. Some of them are, you know, drawers and drawers and drawers of insects, which we think we've counted accurately, but I think that there's some material there that is not, you know. So it's about 2 million, though, total.
How much of that ends up actually on the floor?
Less than 1%. It's a tiny, tiny amount. And a lot of it, as we'll talk about here in a little bit, is just if we put them on display, like what would the public get out of them versus the harm to the object or the space that we'd take to display it? It's just not evocative. It doesn't help us tell the story that we want to tell. And so it doesn't really serve a purpose to be out.
It's interesting. So I'm looking at some of the collection, and this is from Delavan, Wisconsin, Walworth. And then I'm also seeing these are all orioles, right?
Yes. These are, who are these guys? Black-headed Scots, hooded, and orchards. The orchards I think you find around here. The other ones I think are western or eastern,
the orchards. Yeah, there's Arizona.
Yeah, so we do have, this is a Synoptic collection. It covers most of the U.S. It's not every bird that occurs in the U.S., but we would have either purchased or traded or sent people out to collect material for us. And around the turn of the century, it was very common and not unusual at all to have a private collection like this. And so we would have purchased those as they became available as well.
So looking at this today, you said, you know, a lot of the collection looks different when it's a modern collection, but how is this kind of collection used in modern research?
So we get requests. Often people want data, so they might want where occurrence has been historical occurrence data. So has this species range changed because of human influences like habitat loss? Has the range changed because of climate change? You know, you can map out historical points on a map and you can say, okay, this is where they were. Are they still there? You can look at migration data with these. So this is a lot of North American birds migrate from Central and South America every year, sometimes as far as like the Arctic Circle in Canada. And they will stop off along in Wisconsin to refuel and rest. And so and that's when we tend to see them, and maybe we don't see them at all for the rest of the year, except for those two times when they're coming up in the spring and going down in the fall. But some of them don't make it. And so having those points tells you, okay, this is the earliest record that we have for, you know, whatever kind of warbler it is. And here's the latest, and that tells you their migration range, and that can help you determine what that migration route looks like, when they come up, maybe who they co-migrate with. And if you have enough of these collections, so using just our collection gives you a little wedge of that data, but if you go to collections all over the country, it gives you the rest of that picture. And you can start to get further data from there. You can also do things with these collections like we do allow people to come in and do with, you know, they got to do some paperwork to do it, but, you know, you can get some DNA out of specimens like this. We're very cautious about that because it is destructive sampling. You can look at mites. We have an albatross that is unfortunately not accessible at the moment, but he's got mites. You know, he's got little lice all over him. Not all over him, they're not crawling, but, you know, there are a couple spots where you can see that there's a bird louse, and who knew that an albatross gets bird lice, and how are you going to go catch that albatross and study that bird louse, you know? So it's very useful for a lot of stuff. It's just those things are not quite as so obvious as what bird is this, and, you know, how big do they get, that sort of stuff.
It's amazing how many, because I assume all of these lockers are just full of these drawers with different little guys.
Yes, so this is, as I said, this is our North American bird collection. So it starts over on the other side with ducks and geese, and then it goes all the way up into like the little, what we would consider songbirds. And the collection is arranged taxonomically. So everything that's closely related is closer together, and everything that's more distantly related is further apart. So this is the beginning of like the blackbirds. It goes into owls. We get into raptors down at the end, and then on this side we get into shorebirds and waders and stuff like that. So it's a big, extensive collection. It's heavily Wisconsin, but there is stuff from all over the country in it.
Is there any other benefit to having them in a more posed position versus the kind of, you know, laid out flat?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is how people relate to them. They're just much so much more relatable when they look like an animal that you can look out your back window and see. And it's just much easier to interpret them. I think people empathize with them a little bit more. So if you're talking about conservation, it's much easier to say, you should conserve this bird you see all the time versus you should conserve this bird that you see all the time, but it's just lying there. You know, it's just they're active and they're dynamic, and, you know, good taxidermy really makes a huge difference when you're trying to tell those animal stories. And so that's sort of the benefit and why we would have those, you know, we might have a drawer of orioles down here, but we have five or six boxes of orioles up there because they're a common bird here and it's very easy to interpret them and go from there.
Can you talk a little bit about what you're expecting when it comes time to move to the Future Museum?
Yeah, so this is actually our first collection that we're getting ready to move, my first collection that we're getting ready to move. We're going to hire some folks to do inventory so we know exactly what we are packing when we pack it. So they're going to go through, they're going to check it off on the list, verify some data to make sure they've got the right specimen in front of them. It gets a barcode that will just be tied around the legs gently, and then we'll know how many orioles we have, what cabinet, what drawer they're in, what cabinet they're in. This material is easy-ish to move because you can move it in the drawer and then we'll just unload it. We'll either load it into new drawers and load those drawers into the cabinet, or we'll move it in these drawers and move them into the new cabinets. Some of the stuff, like the taxidermy, most of these are going on exhibit, but the taxidermy does get a little bit dodgier because you've got to, you know, you've got to keep it in the right orientation, you've got to keep it from tipping, and many of these are designed to be sort of clipped onto the wall. But it's, you just look at each one and sort of figure out how to do it and how to keep it supported and then go from there. I will say that it does keep me up at night, but it's not that bad. This is not the worst collection to move. This stuff is relatively hale and hardy and, you know, robust. There's some other collections where that's not the case, or they're just much more breakable, but this collection will be relatively easy.
You mentioned some of these items being on exhibit.
Yeah.
Will that be the first time that they've been on display?
I mean, other than being loaned out in classrooms, I don't think anything, these, you know, were never in cases at the old museum or even in this museum. So I think that these will be on display for the first time, essentially. In these collections were largely built for exhibit. That's what they were collecting for primarily, other than the scientific specimens. And so they definitely had an eye to the best things, but I don't know that any of these have ever been on exhibit. There would be certainly a lot of them if there were. It would just be a whole museum of birds.
What can people expect with how this department will have a space in the Future Museum?
I mean, so these birds, as an example, since we're talking about them, there is, I don't know, I haven't seen the final like renderings of this yet, but we're talking about an exhibit called Migration South, which runs through one of the Wisconsin galleries, and up above is the migration of birds going south. Because most of these birds do not live here year-round. They live in they winter somewhere else, and they come up here in the summers to take advantage of the fact that we have longer day length in the summer. And so they will be flying or perched in trees. Somehow we haven't worked all that out, but they will be migrating south out sort of towards our rainforest in the new building.
What is it like repositioning a taxidermied bird?
So you can do it. Most of these will be, if they're perched, they're going to be perched. They'll just be resting on the branch. It is doable, but it's a lot of work. And with older stuff, sometimes it's very, very fragile. Or, you know, maybe it's perched like that because it couldn't be flying because there's like a tear or a rip or it's missing some feathers or something. So we won't be doing a ton of that repositioning. Everybody will get cleaned and sort of prettied up and fixed if they need a little bit of fixing. But, you know, we're not going to be like wholesale making them all fly, even though that'd be cool. But it'd be a lot of work.
Julia Colby is the zoology curator at the Milwaukee Public Museum. She spoke to WUWM's Joy Powers and Eddie Morales.